I will.
So I feel maybe he can grow up later on in the life, like Goya's, all the strong soldiers that he considered to be alive.
Yeah. You mean the punch is being sarcastic?
No, maybe just the leading for.
That could be, but it certainly is skipping a peg. I don't have to see where, how the how develops and get the design.
I think what that possibly is that Shaw did not have any respite. He did not have any period of peace.
Yeah.
It was a constant thing.
I'm asking about why does it say that wherever he saw a good soldier,
they're saying he never had any time. I think you make a very good point. I like that point. He never had any time to lead the nation spiritually. In other words, he was always involved in warfare. Unlike David, who, although he was involved, it's a good point, I didn't think of this, but unlike David, who was involved in warfare all the time, but at the same time found the time to write the Hillel, to involve himself in playing the Beis HaMikdash, all those pursuits.
Yeah, he was hiding out many times, so he had nothing else to do.
Oh, David?
No,
I'm saying after he became king. After he became king, Saul didn't have the capacity or didn't have the interest to be the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people. That's a nice understanding of why it's written there.
The Pastor says we're saying in some ways that it's the period of time for when things change from relying on miracles to actually relying on the Merkava, where you needed these strong army type people. It's not like that. You know, Jonas and his little friend there could go and just basically arrange the destruction of all the fish.
Yeah, that could be. In other words, that now we're going down to Lor Madrega Derech HaTeva, as kings were designed to do, and therefore we need more armies. The truth is that probably this is the first standing army in Klal Yisrael, because usually beforehand they used to just get together to fight the specific wars as opposed to having standing armies. Okay? Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, Perek Tesvav, Vayomer Shmuel Shaul, Shmuel came back, comes back to Shaul. It says, "See, Shoach Hashem, Limshach, Achol, Lemelech, Yisrael, I was sent by God, the Melech, Amo, Yisrael, I was sent by God to anoint you as king over his nation on Klal Yisrael, but Toshma, the Kol Divrei Hashem, and now listen to the voice, to the message in the words of Hashem." In other words, I don't just want you to hear the command, I want you to hear the import behind that. And obviously Shmuel's face is stressing him a little bit strangely here, the fact that he anointed Shaul. So what? If he anointed, he didn't anoint, who cares? Also, he's sort of stressing the Kol Divrei Hashem. It's not just enough to show to the words he has here, so to speak, the voice behind the words. Very powerful statement, although not explicit, but a very powerful implicit statement is being made by this pasuk. Again, about the Sholach Hashem L'Shach Acha, it seems to be superfluous, and about the Kol Divrei Hashem, the voice or the sound of the words of Hashem. Truth is, I want to do the first three psukim as a unit, so I'll come back to this in a couple of minutes. Kama Hashem Tzvako, this is what Hashem, the Lord of Hosts, says. Bakadati is Kasha, Saw Abolek, Lisrael. Remember that which I'm only did to Klal Yisrael. Asher, somewhere by there.
Excuse me.
That which he placed upon them on the road, as a road block, so to speak, by the Soviet time when they came out of Egypt. Atah now, lech mikisos Amalek, go and eradicate Amalek, v'acharam dem zkor shalom, and annihilate or liquidate everything which belongs to him. Lo sachmol, do not have any mercy on him. Roll my talk. Excuse me. I'm still a little tired tonight from last night. Very much.
Maybe you should continue.
Forgot to bring a bottle. Very much. Tell me, you shall be sharp. You should put the death from man to woman, Mi'olel ad Yonek, from a young child to even a nursing child, Mishor v'atzeh, from an ox to a goat or sheep, a lamb, Mi'gamor v'alchamor, from camels to donkeys. Now, excuse me?
No.
So a systematic annihilation of Amalek is called for here. Now, it's interesting that Adak brings down that from this we see that when, I believe it was Bilam, we had the prophecy, for Yoram Me'agag Malkov V'sina Sey Malchus, so I think it was Bilam. No, I don't see it. The Yoram Me'agag Malchol V'sinosei Malchuso. It's in Baruch, Pashas Baruch, Perich of Dalet, Pasuk Zayin. Yizal Mayim Yidoyov, V'zalov Mayim Rabim, V'yalov Yagag Malkom Sinosei Malchuso. So the water was given, this Nevuah of Chayisor being given in a control over Agag, says Radak, refers to Shol. Shol was given that capacity to overcome Agag. The Malim has a long and interesting discussion here of the Shol's sin and comparison or distinction from David's sin. Why don't we see that? I think it's important. Starts on the page before. Official Rach Hashem. No, go ahead, Dvar Shmuel. No, let's take a time. Osisho Ach Hashem, the first page of the handout. The Sibra Ksuvim, Yavo Gankin Achas L'Achas, in the stories of the Pesukim, they'll come one by one. Atan Yisrael Kibel Hashem Tshuva Shol. Well, Hashem not accept to the tribe of Shaul. The Lokach Hamamlocha Mimenu, he took the Machos and he took the kingship away from him. The Lochin David, as opposed to David, Shechat the Ganke, sin as well. Vanim Chalo, but he was forgiven. The Talmid Shem Kosev Yikarim, the Sefer Yikarim writes, Ki Chet Shaul Haya Binyani Amalucha. Shaul died in matters which had to do with his reign, with his kingship. The Chet David Loya Binyani Amalucha, as opposed to David, the Nazin, with things which had to do with his kingship. The Chet David, the Nazmir de Mashal. Let's explain this with a marshal, the parable. Shnei Sovim Shechatu, you have two scribes who sinned. Echad Ziyesh Doros, one forged document, Vasheni Gira Rios, Ervas Basar. The other one was Megara Rios, the other scribe. Shadinu Shazeh Hasheni, so the logic is, or that Rachel is that the second guy, Yurke, will get flogged for having transgressed Arias, but Chosei Musa, later on, will be able to become a mentor or a sofa, whatever he did originally. But the first one who sinned in his actual trade, which is the grain trade, he possibly a sofa, he in this case will not be able to become a sofa. David sin was a human sin. The sin with Bathsheba. The law, Mivnei Bashar Melch, that wasn't a sin which had thought as being king. Therefore, it's different from Shol Chata b'mitzvah shenitzdava b'mitzad machuso. Shol's sin in leaving Agag alive and leaving the animals alive was a sin which went against the very character of his kingship. And therefore the halacha was, or the psak was, that he had to lose his kingship. So similarly to Shlomo, who sinned that they had too many wives, she mitzvah samelach, which is the mitzvah which is covered upon the king, also nikra malchuso, his kingship was whipped away from him. And Yehu, however, who kept that which he was commanded when it had to do with things which had to do with kingship, Rashmi based Yeravam, in other words, he destroyed the house of Yeravam in the northern kingdom. B'nei Ruvain Yeshua Kisa Yisrael, and he had four generations of children who were the kings over the northern tribes of Israel, even though he had other many Averis which he committed. So where is the difference between a sin against the function of a king and a sin as a human thing? It's human sin. The sins which are human and, so to speak, private are of a less onerous nature than the sins which are public and create the potential Chilul Hashem. Okay? So here too. The sin of a melech, of a king, in his melech aspect is far more potentially damaging because of the bad role model he sets for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Well, it's what he does in his private life, not as a role model, is not as big a nuisance. That's why David gets off the hook, even though Shaul does not get off the hook. Okay, is that clear? So, yes.
David, he actually abuses his kingship as part of the center.
That's how he abused his kingship in order to accomplish his taiva. But it was taiva which propelled him, not his kingship. Because it wasn't a shortcut in his kingship that he had the human taiva, he was a human being. But by Yonasan, it's a shortcut. By Shaul, it's a mistake. It's not a human error. It's an error in being a king and not to follow the directives of a Navi. And therefore, he lost the Malchus as a result. Okay? Right, it's not exactly the same thing, but he well mentioned something similar. So it says Shalom, and that's why he said, "Osi Shalach Hashem Lishol Chol Melech." Hashem sent me to anoint him to be king. Ka'omer, as if he say, "Dak Himitzu Zushiyi Mishtal Shalas." You know, this mitzvah is directly linked from Imashim Shalom Melech to you being anointed to be a king. And just like I was sent to anoint you, now I was sent to you this message. I should say, that was like a last-ditch effort to keep the kingship in your hands. And therefore now listen to the voice of the Word of God. Okay? That's the Malbim. This Reb Tzadok maybe we'll leave for now. Let's go to in Pasuk Beis. Reb Tzadok stresses that the Shem Hashem used here is Hashem Tzvakos. Where else do we see Hashem Tzvakos already? In Chanah Davin, she mentioned Hashem Tzvakos. So Shmuel is invoking his entire existence, really. And saying, listen, my mother brought me into this world by using the name Tzvakos. By saying, Hashem, you can have many different armies, make me the head, so to speak, make my son the head of one of the armies. In other words, give him his own group to deal with. So he's saying to Shmuel, listen, Shmuel, you can make king over a disparate nation in order to bring unity among them. In purpose. And one of Christ's major purposes is the eradication of Amalek. Bring everybody together and pursue that agenda. That's what I need you to do. In order to wage such a war, I'm telling you, you have this job of tzvakos, of dealing with the different hosts, the different societies, the different layers of Klal Yisrael. Make sure to do the job right and not to muff it. That's what he's telling you here. In Pasuk Beis, he goes on. Call my Hashem. I'm sorry, I did focus right. I did that right.
Why does he get the benefit of having so many
words? Right?
Hey, he's really getting the whole shebang here.
He was the first one. Everything he did was a stab in the dark. So we have to have a little bit of Rachmanis on him as a king. Now, it's interesting what Putner I saw just yesterday on Purim. Putner says that every time you eradicate a Amalek, it's not just enough to have a melech, you also have to have a navi. Yeshua was the first one told to eradicate Amalek. He was a melech, he had a din of a melech, a din of a navi. Shaul, he was a navi at one point, but now he's not. But Shmuel has to tell him. Shmuel is the one who comes to tell him, to inform him that he's been chosen for this role. You need the component, the tumor of Amalek is so terrible and so corrosive that in order to fight against him, you need not just a melech, but also a navi to be involved, which is, so to speak, you know, double whammy. Okay? Gimel, we said, so I should go destroy the animals as well. The Radak, as you shall we understand that the animals are somewhat tainted by the being affiliated with the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, but perhaps not completely affiliated, tainted rather, because the affiliation obviously between human beings and animals is not a full one. But there is interesting shiny in Rashi. They look in Rashi, but the Gimli says, Mishor Vatzeh Shubalik Shafin, the Amalekites were sorcerers. So they would change themselves into animal-like creatures. So therefore, Amalek had to be killed because even the animals of Amalek had to be killed because the animals are really people. That's Rashi. The Radak. The Radak also had to fight a different shot. The Radak says the animals had to be killed because of it's going to remind people of Amalek. If you leave a donkey of Amalek around, people are going to say, oh, this was the Amalekite donkey. And he will not be fulfilling the Timcha Zecher Amalek. So therefore they have to do that. And we don't know if Amalek is being that much into Taiva. We know they're into killing, but not so much into Taiva, so I can't tell you that there was. Okay, now in any event, that's the charge. That's Shmuel's charge. Now let's see a whole bunch of things in Reb Tzadik about what went wrong and what went right and all that kind of stuff. We're on the fourth page of the handout. Actually, the fifth, I think. Page 10, Zion. No, it's the fourth. Page 10, Zion. It says 31 on the on the top right left margin. Poke it in. Let me get my standard. Okay, just the Rhapsodic starts out with a very basic premise, which is by number, my little number one. Kikol Pekido Shenichta Peksah Bekosuf. Anytime it says the word Pekido in Tanakh, Vedoros Olam, for all generations to Pesicha Shar Mechudash, it opens a new gate. Shenichta Benekuda Zoo, which is open, Pekido Zoo, which is open. The word Pekido indicates something new, something dramatic, something very, very important about to happen. Now, skipping to page two, not page two, but where I have a little number two. In the third column, Amalek, also when Amalek is eradicated, it says Pekida. I remembered a revisit of that which Amalek did. The Goymer, etc. Because by Amalek, when Hashem's providence is concerned with Amalek, it's to eradicate Amalek. Because Amalek is Hahefech Seder Abriah. He's the antithesis of creation. The entire purpose of creation is for the Jews. Shekibu Torah, accept it, Torah. You don't have I don't think so, but I can't tell you offhand for sure. I think it's where the verb, where it's using the verb form. Not he counted thing. I should put that in. Maybe it does. Maybe the Mishkan, since it was such a new thing, it was a novel concept that also falls into the language of Makita. It's possible. Okay? The opposite of the order of creation, which is all for Klal Yisrael. Shekibot Torah, receive the Torah. The ruling aim, if not for the Jews, the world will go back to desecration and desolation. Much because of the Shabbos, like it says in the Shabbos. Vashar and everybody else besides the Jews, Nivu were created, Rak Bishvil Gerim, only for the converts, Hasidim Latzaisman, which will eventually come from the Jew, Goyim. Vigam Kidei, and also, in order to shamish Israel, that they should serve the Jews, who I feel like will be in the world to come. Va'amdu Zoim, when strangers will come, the row, and they're going to be your shepherds and graze your sheep, the Kugom, etc., so everybody will be a slave for the Jews. Va'Esav, and he's an Esav, even Esav, Shabirchu Yitzchak, when Yitzchak gave the bracha, Amalei said, you're going to be a slave. Toif. That's your lot in life. So Tachus Bichotim Shlemus. So you want to be a guy, and you want to be a Shalem as a guy. How do you be Shlemus as a guy? By serving Jews, right? For free, hopefully. So, no such luck. Antoninus, and it's like Antoninus, who was a Roman governor, the Gachin Rebbe, he bent down for a Rebbe, the Rebbe could go up to his bed by stepping on Antoninus. The us on my way, and that's when Rabbi Nasi told Antoninus, she used Kilo Mabo that will merit the world to come. Kumashkasu Bavarazo, like it says in Avarazo, the Kam Shamiya Matsal Tachtov, and there too, says Reb Tzadok, an amazing thing, I don't know why he knows this, except that he's Reb Tzadok, that also in the world to come, Antoninus will be a mat under Rabbi Nasi. Kumashi Bikesh, like Antoninus asked, or Tachas Aktaimen, or a mat underneath other tzaddikim, but lower than Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Now, how does this work? Avoni Madrigos, or Tzadok just spells as a theological concept here in general. Avoni Madrigos, or Me'akiva Darbekiva. That although we'll be affiliated with to derive the Rebbe, that although we'll be affiliated, perhaps with others who are smaller than Rebbe, his primary connection to whom Abba comes through Rebbe and have some sort of at least indirect affiliation with Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Because if things are written in the Shas, they can't just be empty, frivolous words. And even though these words are Antoninus davening, that it should be zochet to be a mat under Rebbe in the world to come, then the boy he asked it as a tefillah. It works. In other words, maybe Antoninus says to get anything in the world to come. Maybe the answer to his request was no. So the Gemara says we never contend with such a possibility. Because, like it says, even though it says something similar by David, that he asked Hashem for a certain favor, according to one opinion, means he wanted to be completely accepted back to the fold. It's not clear. But this is much I know, says Ibsalik. Regardless, there's no such thing as a few which doesn't have some impact. In other words, you know, when that famous, the infamous Nachshon Waxman kidnapping. Nebuchadnezzar, who remembers anymore Nachshon Waxman? But remember when he was kidnapped, this kid, so they had this big prayer service by the Kosel, right? So people felt, you know, how could it be that they had this tremendous prayer service, and they weren't answered, right? Hashem didn't free the kid. So somebody said, a lot of people said at the time, that Hashem answered, his answer was no. The Tzaddik doesn't take no for an answer. The Tzaddik says there's no such thing. There's no such thing as a Jewish tefillah which is not answered. They're all answered. It's just they're not always answered in the same in the same degree as you prayed. Because if you pray that somebody who's sick should be healed, some healing will take place for somebody somewhere, but not necessarily for the person you're diving for. So prayer is always effective. It's just not necessarily effective in the way which you meant it to be effective. So it says, go set it. Yeah, one could say the same thing. That diminishes suffering.
It doesn't have to be directed towards someplace else. It's that it's positive, that it's answered in the way that the person that you prayed for is actually
going to
have less suffering.
Yeah, that person has less suffering, diminished suffering, whatever. That's possible too. Right. No tefillah does nothing. But Gam to David, also David, Well, I skipped a little bit. It's not necessarily your dying will be completely accepted. There's no such thing as a Jew which doesn't achieve something. There was a question of whether his handiwork would be destroyed or not. Came the commandant at the low shots, and there's an opinion that his handiwork was not destroyed. He at least achieved that little bit. The very fact that there's an opinion like that in the Gemara, Eino Dabar Batel, shows that it wasn't just nothing, that there actually was such a potential. He was not, so his handiwork was not consumed by maggots and worms, whatever, etc. Let's skip down. So he says, Antonius is still was for sure answer. Antonius got somehow into Olam Abba as a mat, as a adjunct, as takan, do Rabbi Yehuda Anasi, or one of Yehuda Anasi's Talmidim. Now, let's skip down to beyond the brackets. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The ninth line down on the second column on 31. That's fourth column on the page. V'amorik yotza miklal kolumos. Amorik was not like any other nations. It's tavlum chosul gamri. We were commanded to completely eradicate Amorik. V'aim akam gerim, and we refuse to accept gerim from Amorik. K'mashkasa mechilta, like it says in the mechilta. Ki kol uma okach miyucha dura. Because every nation is a specific power of evil. V'aim ichlau sheva midos, and there are seven midos, seven traits of negative behavior, positive behavior as well. Korecha kolom ha'asara, kedur, each one has 10 sub-traits, and it's known to make them shivim umos, because why is there the 70 nations of the world? V'aim chashum mido raw bone, because there's no such thing as a bad trait. She'aim b'za ezit sa'ato, which doesn't have some positive benefit. Because otherwise it wouldn't continue to exist. The Israel and Ayin Nefesh, the Jews started out being 70 souls when they went down to Egypt. Nefesh Shimur is corresponding to the 70 nations of the world. We also use the 70 powers. Just in a good way. And from our perspective, God and Ba'ez Biru MS, that's how we And since the purpose is for us to use the trade of the nations of the world in the world to come, when truth will be clarified, all Jews will be slaves to the Jews, giving their unique qualities and traits, their midos to Christ, so to use the right way. But Tzachimush needs us also to use some of the power of that nation, the Tzadadov Shabbo, for the good purpose. Avalamoyak, who races the going, was the first man going. Vaschoa, these pastures in the beginning of the spread shall culminate Rav, all types of evil. Emboshum Koach Prati Barakov, he has no specific traits distinct from any other nation. He's just an overall umbrella, so to speak. And therefore Rakushoresh Hara, he's the source of all evil. Kiko Koko, the entire power of Hamorik is Shu Hefech Hatov, is that he's the antithesis of good. The Choritzono, his entire will, is Lahashmid Amitso Chasm Shomid Om, is to eradicate Jews. No, by the way, Dr. Spadel, there's a famous sheet of Reb Chaim, that any goy who attempts to attack Jews is considered to have a din amolek. In other words, it's not just, let's say, Germans, or Chveis, right, it's not a genetic thing. And it's interesting because Rabbi Yehuda Gershuni, the Blazing Silver Son-in-Law, wants to say that's the pshat in in Arabs, that Arabs have a din amolek because they pursue Jews. Now, I don't think he's right about that. I don't think that Reb Chaim really meant that it's a trait, not a personality. I think when we're commanded to kill amolek, we're commanded to kill specific people, not specific traits. But there is a very strong case to be made that most of what we call generic enemies of the Jews are really connected in some way, shape, or form to Amalek. Now, just want to mention in that regard that I don't think the Arabs are as bad as Amalek, because the truth is that the Arabs of Arafat and the other Arabs, Shem, Shem, Machshma, they would be happy to see the Jews leave the country. If there are no Jews in the state of Israel, the Arabs couldn't care less if they lived in New York. Correct? Hitler, Machshma, right, or Detroit, or anywhere like that. Hitler, Machshma, he would not be capable of being civil a Jew if a Jew lived in Madagascar. Right? So there is a difference. I don't think it's the same. Although Rabbi Yershuni says the same, I think there is a difference. But there is such an opinion that anybody pursues Amalek in any given time is considered to have, anybody pursues Jews is Amalek. So the reason is that Amalek's koyach is the antithesis of Judaism. He wants to eradicate all Jews from all, which is a good definition of Hitler. I don't think it pertains to Arafat, and even Hamas, as big as Shoahim, as big, you know, and as much as we want to see all of them die speedily in our time, but they're not the same thing. We're talking about Amalek, they stand in direct opposition to Jews. To Jews as Jews. Amalek can't be sober for your kasher tori du farak to ulomi al tzavarecha. Amalek's entire purpose is to hate and try and supplant and try and overcome the Jewish people. And Hashem, the amazing thing is that Hashem created Amalek that way. Why? Why was Amalek created? What do we need this for? So if you are looking up, we need Amalek. Well, we have nothing better than we need an Amalek. So says in Tzadik, yes, we need Amalek. Explains. The dove is on Chazaras Olam Lato. The purpose of Amalek is that it wants to return the world to Tov, to return the world to desolation. And he wants, Amalek wants to turn the clock back to, he doesn't realize this, of course, but he wants to change the Bria. In other words, if there's no Klai Yisrael, there's no world, right? If Amalek really's intent is to destroy the world. Although it's not expressed by them that way, but that's their intent. Why does Hashem create it this way? So be free will in the world. If evil is not a force in the world, there is no Bechira. If evil does not look like a valid alternative, there is no true Bechira. Any other evil is just a watering down dilution. It's a dilution of the pure evil of Amalek. Amalek is 99 and 44, 100% pure. So when Amalek comes, their intent is Hakem Rotsushim Atzir Sarwa. The intent of the Bria was Hashem wanted to be a reality of an evil proposition. In order to give the tzaddikim a good reward, when they'll overcome Amalek. So what is primary? Listen to this line of tzaddik. What's the primary existence of Amalek? Who follow Yemetzis? Is to obliterate it. But Hashem said, Yad Bechira. I'm creating this pure evil Amalek. What's your tachlis vis-a-vis Amalek? And therefore, what's Amalek? What's Klaisol's tachlis vis-a-vis Amalek? And therefore, what's Amalek's tachlis? To be destroyed. So it's Metzius, it's Shalom Yelom Metzius. Its reality is that it shouldn't exist. That's the purpose which Amalek was created. And, of course, an amazing statement, but by Rabbi Tzadik, this is a Dabar Pashut. V'akimas Adam Yashar. God made man, Adam Arishon, straight. The Ratzah Shinetz Chumiyat, Hashem wanted pure evil to be defeated at right off the bat. V'ilachot Adam Arishon, Rav Adam Arishon, not sin. V'nitzach l'nachash, had he overcome the nachash. Ha'yanichl sholash ha'ramiyat. Immediately the source of evil would have been eradicated. B'tchilas will be at the beginning of time. V'yadai shimush ha'bechir b'osarega. And the momentary use of Bechir at that point in history would have been enough for all time. Rabbi Sai, the one point of Bechira of Adam Arishon could have been the beginning and end of all of history. We don't know how much Bechira was packed into that second, that split second. Had, you see, because it looks like, you know, just eat the apple, not eat the apple, wasn't even an apple, but eat the fruit or not eat the fruit. But the way to understand it properly is that all of mankind's free will and free choice from the beginning of time till the end of time was packed into that 1 second, that momentary decision which Adam Arishon had to make. And since he made the wrong one, all of human history flows from that. It's much worse than a Pandora's box, because it's Pandora's Bechira did not include all Bechiras of all time. It just led the way by chain reaction to all Bechiras. But other issues of Bechira included all Bechira of all time.
Now you have
Bechiras
and Pandora.
So, by the day, Kilkul Adam, by Adam messing up, the Dor Shach of the generations after him, Nibshach HaMatan Torah. Until Matan Torah, evil was reigning in the had a possible reign in the world. Then they had the chance to rectify things all together. There would be no reality for evil anymore. So who was against Matan Torah? Somebody had to come in and persecute Klal Yisrael. Just like the Nachash was the first representation of evil in a physical world form in this world. Who represented the evil at the time Matan Torah? Amalek, the nation itself. It took on a human form. Has been able to eradicate them altogether. Oh yeah, shame Shola, and the name of God would have been complete. And the throne of God complete. Like it will be. It would be written like, pronounced like it's written. Yudkevavke. The way you cut off from Rechon, God's teachings will not be curtailed. The way you're born old lechet acham. There will be no more chatoim. Now, however, since it didn't work and the story of Amalek is around, there became a place for choosing evil adayin. Because of his here, Moshe Rabbeinu, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Currently, saw some earth before they entered the Eretz Yisrael." Zohar, the Gomer, Vayabaniach, the Gomer, Hainuk Shielo, Menucha, Mikol, Kolchus, the Rashvah. When you're able to vanquish all the minor, all the diluted evil in the world, Vayanu Shielo, Shoyim, Betachlis, Hashleis, and when you have the ultimate famous in practice, as his amates, then you should toil, Levayah, Shoresh, Mitzil, Sarah, to eradicate the source of evil minol legamre via gemara tikkun and complete the tikkun, the rectification of the world. Vakama shol melech when shol becomes king. Why shol? What does he do? Why was Amalek supposed to be eradicated by shol? And bear in mind, did David ever eradicate Amalek? No. Shaul was chosen to eradicate Amalek. He messed up. Could David do it? No, who had to do it? Instead of Shaul? Mordechai. Only Shevet Binyamin. Yehuda can't eradicate Amalek. It's not possible. For your base, Yosef. It's got to be children of Rivka which eradicate Amalek, not Yehuda. Can't be Yehuda. Children of Rachel. Sorry, what did I say? Rivka? Rachel. And now that's in number three here. In the kingship of Rizka in the days of Shaul. Afshar Malchus HaYitzhash Ubiya, even though kingship is only borrowed by him. Like Hazal said, concerning Inya Malchuso, how to define his kingship, like the become prior to the kingship of David. Oh, the Dugmas, this amazing thing that Tzadok says. Look at this. Shaul to David, and the Dugmas B.S. Elio was like Elio, Shugamke, I know how he knows this, Mizar de Binyamin, who also comes from Shevet Binyamin, Lifnei Bias Mashiach Ben David Bimherev Yameinu. Elio is to Mashiach as Shaul is to David. Now what's Elio's capacity? Elio, come show you a little Tom Tom Chait. Shaul never, Elio never sinned. What's that riot in? What? When they sank very low. Pilegish Begiva. When they were successful, they were very big tzaddikim, Shevet Binyamin. But how do you know Elio didn't sin? He didn't die. Elio never sinned. That's where we live forever. That's why it was incumbent upon him to eradicate the source of evil. You have to first not sin in order to eradicate the source of evil. Because if you sin in the slightest, you don't have the capacity to attack the source of evil. Right, because then you're affiliated with evil in some way. That's right. You saw that?
No, you said that last.
Well, he's about to say that too. Right. He's about to say it. Binyamin ben Yaakov, whom the Abba Shemesu Beit Yeshua Nochash, Binyamin son of Yaakov, was one of the four which died because of the snake's counsel. Because of Shabbos, Davi Shoyoyog Shum Chait, Binyamin never sinned. Mikomakom lo biyarua dying shosh, but Tzio Saramion, nonetheless he didn't eradicate the source of evil from the world. Shu Et Yeshua Nochash, which is the counsel of the serpent, Shesh Bechot Tzatzai Adam Yeshua, which is present in all the descendants of other Rishon. Kvashamu Chazal, a pasuk, Bavon Malay, that David HaMelech said, I was conceived in a full sin. Afilu Chasid Shemachasidim, even the greatest Chasid, the Yisrael has in mind when they have relations with their wives to do it for pleasure. The Yishai Avi David Gankim Yosem Abach, David said about his father Yishai, who was also from the four who never sinned. But Zeret Yoshel Nachash, that's the counsel of the snake. Shenachshav L'Adam Gadol Kamos, it's considered by a great man like Yishai, Ravon, as if it's a sin, Mashal Obiya Shora Shara, Shloyelo Shum Taival Anas Atamakla, that he shouldn't have any desire to fulfill his own lust at all. You mean because of original sin? We don't believe the difference between us and the good Christians in terms of original sin is that they believe if you don't accept Yoshka, then the original sin damns you to eternal perdition. Whereas by us, Enachanami, you're going to die because of the original sin, unless you're Eliyahu HaNabi, but it doesn't damn you forever. That's basically what it boils down to. So the doctrine of original sin is odious, because in order to get out of it, you have to accept Yoshka. That's really what it boils down to. Alright, so Eliyahu, it's late, I'll have to come back to this next week, but Eliyahu, because he never sinned, is the one who can save us ultimately from Amalek, and Shaul was supposed to begin that process. Now we'll talk about why Shaul messed up and how he failed to do that when we come back this next week.